BBC Radio London, it is The Barking Hour. Joe Good and Anna Webb, and I think we've got a very full house, you know. So many emails today, Anna, because everyone's staying in because it's so hot.
Yes, so it's great for us.
Great for the animals. My dog will. Coming up in a moment, we're going to be talking to animal communicator, the wonderful, the very renowned P. Horsley. And we've been asking, have you ever communicated with your dog when they've passed on? Or have they communicated with you? 0800 731 2000. Give Nathan or Anna a call.
I love my dog. Baby, I love my dog. Na 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 na. I said I love my dog.
So we're just expecting P. Horsley. She'll be up in the lift any moment now. But, Anna, this is from Carol, who says, a few years ago, both my husband and I, on separate occasions, were accosted by a small Jack Russell who went crazy whenever he saw us. The owner was very apologetic and said he doesn't do this with anyone. She even asked what house number I lived at one day because she found him sitting on my path. I started to think about this and came to the conclusion that it was my little Sammy who had died a few years before. One day, when I was making a fuss about this little dog, as this had become norm now, I called him Sammy and he did a twirl and sneezed a yes in response. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm convinced it is him reincarnated. Once he greets us, he always trots off with his owner quite happily. We had him for 16 years and I'm happy to know that he has moved on. Oh my goodness. Well, we might actually explain that tonight. I'm so excited because I have not seen P. Horsley for so many years. P. Horsley is an animal communicator who believes that everybody, not just her, everybody has the ability to communicate with animals because it's all part of nature. And she is here. Hello.
Hello.
I am so, hello. I'm so chuffed. Do you know I've still got the crystal you gave me at the bottom of my handbag? And that was the very first... very first time you came on. The very first time you came on here.
Yeah.
It's so lovely to see you, Pete. And you, you know, you have worked all over the world, haven't you, in this line of work?
I have. I've been very, very blessed. I've been doing this for 17 years now, and I've worked in nearly every continent. I've been, I've been teaching in Hawaii, in various places in Australia, you name it, all over Europe. In England, even.
Yeah, and in England, where you started. So for people who don't understand what is there, actually, in the title, animal communication, because we were talking about, and I know you, because I know you've done work with friends of mine with this, when our animals have passed on, when they've died, you have sat with the owner to help communicate with them.
Yeah.
And that is part of what you do. Mm-hmm. The other work you do is communicate with the animal whilst they're alive.
Yes, both. And I know this sounds strange, but I love communicating with animals who've passed over because they're not suffering. They are in this completely different place. You know, often animals will die from old age or illness, and the guardian is having a very difficult, you know, time with that, as I have with my animals. And then you have this space where I can communicate with the animal on their behalf, ask the animal questions that they want to know, you know, what are you doing now? Are you happy? Was it the right timing for you? Have you got a message for me? And then the animal will respond in the way I can describe. And then I just really relay that to the guardian. And it's such a comfort for them to be able to actually hear from their animal after their physical body has died, because this is what's crucial. I'm actually communicating telepathically with the soul of the animal. So animal communication is completely non-verbal. I'm not interpreting body language or barks or any of that. It's a very non-verbal, silent exchange of information. And the way that we can all do this, as you said, we just do it intuitively using our senses. So an image might, you know, land in my mind and I'll see it with my mind's eye. I'll feel emotions, I'll feel things in my physical body as an animal is trying to explain where illness is or disease, an area of concern. I'll also get the thought forms, which is my strength. We all have a strength, and mine is receiving thought forms. So I know that sounds really, really strange. And it's the hardest thing for students to get right, because it's the one where you go, am I making this up? Is this just me? But before I moved into animal communication, I used to work in theatre as a stage manager. And for 15 years, I was basically learning how to listen, because as a stage manager, you're silent nearly all the time. You're listening for the director to tell you to do something. You're listening to the actors to cue something on the stage, like the lighting or the sound. So I've had 15 years honing this ability to be able to listen hard to thoughts in my mind.
And anticipating what's wrong. Because you can hear when the show's not working, or you can hear what's going wrong, and you know either the actor, the technicals or something. You're astute to that, because that's what a stage manager has to know. You know, even if they're not literally watching it, they have to hear to see what's happening. You've never explained that to me before. I knew that you'd come from a background of theatre, a very mm-hmm. famous theatre, actually, which we won't refer to, but a very, very famous theatre. Anna, what was it you wanted to ask something straight away?
Well, I wanted to ask P, yes, my cat Gremlin passed away 2.5 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks, yes. Basically, you know, I've seen lots of signs, because I'm a bit into my signs. So the day after he died, one morning in the garden, the chair in the garden that he would always sit on had fallen over. All the other chairs in the garden were upright. And this throw that was on his bench, or his corner of the bench, was on the ground. You know, and it hadn't been windy or anything. And I automatically thought that was a sign, Gremlin just popping in to say hello and being a bit mischievous, because that did defy, he was called Gremlin for a reason. Mm-hmm. But it was really this morning, I was a little bit taken aback, actually, because, you know, you don't see many Red Admiral butterflies anymore. And this is certainly the first one I've seen this summer anywhere, but also in my garden. But it wouldn't leave me alone. It really wouldn't leave me alone. It really was. I didn't dare move, because I was worried I might headbutt him or something. And then when you do that to a butterfly, you know, the dust comes off the wings, and then they might die and can't fly anymore. So I had to stay dead still. And then it was buzzing. It was from one end of the garden, then it came back, and a bit like Gremlin, you know, one end of the garden, came back, went off the other end of the garden, came back. It was extraordinary. What do you think of that?
Well, I love paying attention to signs. You know, I would say, if it feels to you in your heart, in your body, that that's Gremlin saying hello, just accept it. Just welcome that hello from heaven, basically. Butterflies are a real common sign from animals in spirit, and also people in spirit.
Yeah.
White ones are the most well-known. I had a client, actually, whose dog transitioned, and she was like, just show me a sign. And she had this similar experience where lots of white butterflies just suddenly came to her on one of her walks and would not leave her alone, just kept following her around.
Do you, P, you know, if anyone listening now, their pet had died, say, 5, 6, 7, even longer years ago, is there, you know, because Anne always says the Buddhists believe that the spirit is very present for how many weeks?
49 days.
49 days. Would you, with our pets, would you still be able to communicate? Would you still, is there a spirit that you can communicate with? Is there a time limit, or could that be forever?
There's no time limit. I mean, we need to look at quantum physics here, really, and just remind ourselves that everything is energy and the whole of the universe is connected. And we see ourselves, we limit ourselves at our skin and see ourselves as individual beings, not connected to our environment or the universe or the other planets and the cosmos. But that's actually not the truth. It's a lie. You know, we are all interconnected across space and time, because the building blocks of what we are, basically, are the same across every species. Yes. And it's just we're this dense form. I mean, I've communicated with a dog who had passed over 20 years ago, but I wouldn't put any limit on it at all.
I remember when I went to a workshop many years ago with you, and both Anna and I have lost our dogs, so Matilda's gone, who you knew very well.
Yeah.
But she got to 13, P. She got to 13, and Molly died. You know, they were the best friends, Anna's dog, Molly. But I remember when I took... You had a workshop, and yeah, I took
well,
Matilda.
We both went, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went, where was it? It was Harefield, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. It was slightly Ickenham. Out of London, wasn't it?
It was
Ickenham.
Yeah. And I remember... you had this extraordinary, which you still have, which I've never been able to achieve, this stillness. And Matilda was a pup then. She was, you know, she wasn't even four. I can't remember how old she was. And you said, just let her off, let her off. And I went, no, but she'll run everywhere and she'll do this. And you went, no, just leave her, leave her. And, you know, there were all these other people on this course. And she then just sat. And you just looked at her. I know everyone at home, honestly, believe what you want to believe. But you just looked at her. And she just carried on looking at you. And she just completely calmed down. And you just sat, you were looking at her for about 10 minutes in silence. There was stuff going on around. And for the first time, someone had looked at Matilda and given her, sorry, I'm going to get emotional. It's something Anna talks about. We never give time to our animals. We never stop and look at them and think, what are you thinking? What are you doing? God, I am going to get really upset because I remember you saying to me, P, you said she's here to look after you, Joe. God, sorry, I get really upset because she did, actually. But no one had given her that credibility because she was a pup and she was a dog. And, you know, and it taught me to just sit and look at her from time to time. Try and read her, because that's basically what you're doing with the animals that are alive, is giving them time.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm reading them. I'm not reading body language, because I can also communicate with animals from a photograph.
Yeah,
yeah, and across the other side of the world, because you're making an energetic connection with their frequency that makes them their unique selves. So even though it might be a dog that's similar to lots of other dogs, you're actually connecting specifically with that soul.
Do you think, though, we don't have time for them? We don't, you know, we just look them after, we love them, as we've been talking about, we humanise them to our detriment. But what we often don't just give them the time.
And animals love that.
Yes.
I mean, they just love us sitting with them or playing with them and just being with them without the distractions. That's when they are happiest, isn't it? You know, when they just have all of us. I know that when I used to walk my previous dog, Bodhi, if I was on the phone listening, you know, talking to somebody or just checking out my phone, he just hated it. But when I put it away and just was with him, not just walking with him, but, you know, really engaging, he was so happy.
Anna?
Yeah, I think it's a good message that, you know, our pets aren't with us long enough and we do really need to spend time. It's something I really reiterate loads and loads, you know, on your phone when you're walking your dog, don't do it. You know, that's the time when you absolutely must be with your dog and to earn their respect as much as anything and not just be an accessory, a dog in a dog bed in the front room. You know, they are living, sentient, breathing creatures.
And the dogs always say, will you walk with me? Let's go for a walk together. Don't just walk me.
Yes.
You know, because they often play up, don't they, when we're just not paying attention. Come with me. Let's go on this walk together.
Can I ask you something else? And again, this is incredibly personal. But Anna, we have so many listeners who call us when their dogs have died. And we always pay tribute. We always say we dedicate this show to that particular dog. And Anna always, because I never know what to say, and Anna always says, your dog would never want you to be sad. They don't like us being sad. Well, you've had so much experience of what dogs are saying when they're passed on. Would you agree? They just don't want to see us sad.
I brought something with me I'd love to read out.
Oh, yes.
About what dogs say to their people after they've passed over.
Move in, everyone. Turn us up a notch. Go on.
Okay, so this was a Shih Tzu, 13 years, 6 months. I am peaceful, capitals. I feel bliss all the time. I am free of physical limitations. Happy and content are not close to how extremely wonderful I feel. This is a German shepherd, 10 years old. I am everywhere. I am in your heart, your breath, your light, your dark. I am in your everything. I am in you, a part of you, what you feel, I feel. I hear you. Listen. This is a collie, 11 years old. I am free, flying. I feel like I've escaped and I can run wild. This is a chocolate cocker spaniel. You know, this guardian, because I can't use the word owner, because I feel like they are taking care of us as much as we're taking care of them, and often wiser than us humans. But this guardian said, did I let you down? This is often a question I get sent, actually. And this Cocker Spaniel replied, "Humans," and sighed. "Why do you doubt yourself so much? Did you love me? Yes. Did you care for me physically? Yes. Did you see me as a spirit in a body? Yes. Did you lay blankets? Did you reorganize your life? Did you drop everything for me? When you ask this question, what you really want to know is this. Did you contribute to my death? The answer? No. You and I lived a happy, long life together, a very happy life. And then I grew old, my body started to fail, as yours will one day. So my advice, have fun, fun."
That is a brilliant note on which to end, P. It's so good to see you again. Where can people find you? What is, you have a website and social media?
I have a website, animalthoughts.com. I am teaching this autumn, if anybody wants to come to an in-person workshop in the UK. And then I'll be teaching more next year. I've also got an online course. I've got meditations. There's lots of ways to learn from me. And I've got books, and I bought these as gifts for you, one each, which is all about ending life and what animals feel about this.
Thank you, P. Thank you.
The Animal Communicator's Guide Through Life, Loss and Love.
Fantastic. The Animal Communicator's
Guide
Through Life.
And it's lots of stories of what the animals felt towards dying and then their views after.
Thank you. P. Horsley is the name, and the website is Animal Thoughts.
Animalthoughts.com.
Thank you, P. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you both.